الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الذي لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء، وهو السميع البصير. نحمده تعالى على نعمه وآلائه، ونشكره تعالى على أفضاله وعطائه، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، أبان الحلال والحرام، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه. فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وذروا ما بقي من الربا إن كنتم مؤمنين. وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد، وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Infinite and abundant praise and glories for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has given us the ability, the tawfiq, the izn, the strength, the himmah to attend here today on this blessed day of Jumu'ah in the sacred house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to seek guidance from the glorious and noble Qur'an, and to seek and to follow in the footsteps of the beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our sincere intentions, our efforts, and make this day a means for our success, for our forgiveness, and for our salvation in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Previously on Jumu'ah, we began our discussion on the very, very important aspect of interest, of riba, which is prohibited in the Islamic faith, in the Sharia, in our tradition, in our way of life. And as Muslims, we should be very, very clear on those things that are halal, that have been permitted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those things which are haram, which are forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And for those things which fall into the grey area, the shubahat, the grey area, we should avoid all of those things as well to the best of our abilities. And we discussed how the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam said that our nation, the ummah, following the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, would be given so much riches, so much wealth, that it would be unable to contain itself. And as a result of it pursuing the wealth and the pleasures of the dunya, it would forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or forget practicing the deen and drift away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the beautiful deen. And we also discussed how when you take interest, or when you give interest, when you are a witness to interest, or when you sign the contract or make the contract, then all of you are equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the terms of the prohibited act that you are doing or seeing or supporting, and how we as Muslims must keep away from all of these particular avenues. Why? Because the riba itself, whereas other things which are prohibited in the Quran and Sharia, there is a set punishment for them. For zina, there is a set punishment. For theft, there is a set punishment. For lying, for gossiping, for backbiting, there is a set punishment. But when you take interest, when you give interest, when you are a witness to interest, when you make the contract, فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, that if you do not desist and if you do not stop in engaging in all of these things, then you are at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and there is no success for that individual who is at war with Allah Azza wa Jal, or the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And we discussed previously on Jumu'ah that by taking or engaging in these particular activities, the barakah from your life is removed. The sukoon and itmi'nan within your heart is also removed. Your du'as are not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you are consequently filling your own grave with fire for your arrival in there. And that when you return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, you will also be facing a severe and dire punishment. And therefore we as Muslims need to live within our means. Within our means, and inshallah al-Aziz, today we will continue with that particular discussion. As we have the new Islamic year, 1441, since the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam migrated from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara, and we are in the sacred month of Muharram. One of the new things that you can do, just like we do for the secular calendar, is we make a New Year's resolution, an irada, we make an azm, we make a niyyah. And one of the niyyah and one of the azm and one of the resolutions that you should have in this new Islamic year is to remove and finish off all of your debts. If you have any outstanding debts, rather than go on a holiday, rather than live a posh life or a very, very affluent life, save as much as you can and pay off your debts. Because even a shaheed, he is not forgiven for his debts. He is still accountable for his debts. So we, if we have any outstanding debts, this is the time and opportunity for you to make that resolution to pay off your debts. If you have a mortgage, then you need to make sure to the best of your ability that as quickly as possible you are getting away from your mortgage. You need to try to live a halal life. A life in the green, a life which is according to the Sharia, to the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and keep far away from all forms of riba, whether directly or whether indirectly. And the way to do that is to live within your means and within your abilities. If you look back 50 years or 100 years, we live very, very simple lives. Our forefathers, grandparents, they didn't engage with any of these things, yet they lived a humble and simple life, and they managed to live and eat and sleep and marry and do all of those things without engaging in haram and interest. So why is it now that we are struggling? It's because of our lifestyles, because of the posh life that we want to have, the latest car, the biggest house, the latest gadgets, and the best food and the best attire and clothing. This is because of our choices that we make, where we can't differentiate between a need, which is a darura, and between a want, which is a desire, which is a wish. We need to ask ourselves, do I need this to survive and to exist and to function, or do I just want this to make my life happier and easier? This is the core difference that we need to really establish within our lives. We cannot be lured by consumerism to consume and to continue to consume and consume beyond our means and beyond our capacities. And we discussed previously on Jumu'ah that the UK is in debt of £4.8 trillion. Every taxpayer, without them knowing it, owes £68,000 of debt, even though they haven't accumulated that debt. The US is in $20 trillion of debt. Europe is in debt. All of the countries and the continents are in debt. Why? Because they are living outside of their means and capacities. And as a result, they are taking these loans and interest and all of these things, and they are unable to pay it back. And that interest accumulates and accumulates and accumulates. So a simple example, that if your son wants a car, 16-year-old, 17-year-old, 18-year-old, the way that you go about it is you say to your son, you want a car? Fine. Get a job. Earn your wealth. Save your money, and with that money, whatever funds that you have available, then go buy a car within that capacity. The answer isn't to say, here's my credit card, or go to the finance company, or go to the bank and get a loan, or just go and get the latest car. That's not the answer. Because you're encouraging and supporting your child to go towards haram, towards their own destruction. So if they want something, they have to earn it and live within their means and capacity. They don't have to have the latest car. It doesn't have to have the latest gadgets and gizmos. Save and work, and then live within your capacity. Earn a car, then buy a car. Don't get a finance, or don't go out and get these interest loans. If you want a house, it's very, very simple as well. Go and earn. You're living with your parents, earn as much as you can, and stay with your parents for however long you can. Save as much as you can. And then, if you can't purchase a house outright, rent. for as long as possible. You don't have to have this ownership. Today you are alive, tomorrow you will be dead. And if you have that debt on your head, who will pay that off? Especially that debt which is with interest, who will you be accountable for? If you can work as much as you can, and then take qarzi hasana, borrow from your family and from your friends as much as you can, then buy a home within your capacity, within your means, and then try to own that home and pay off your qarzi hasana as quickly as possible. Own that own property that you have, rather than take that mortgage out, take that loan out, and the bank owns your property, and you don't own that property, and you are paying 30, 40 years of your life, and you're paying 20 years of that on interest. Similarly with student loans as well, it's important to seek ilm. This is one of the major components of our deen. But you seek ilm in the correct way, in the halal way. You know that your child is talented, good. Then you should start saving as a parent for your child and the university fees. If that child reaches the age of 15, 16, then tell them to get a part-time job. Tell them to start earning and start saving for their fees when they go to university. Pay off the first year, which can be done quite easily, £9,000. And then they can have a job and they continue to earn, and then they can pay off any of their expenses without taking a student loan. Why? Because that student loan will incur interest. If you've borrowed 27,000 or 30,000, you'll end up paying double or triple that during your lifetime. And that is something on your head, and it taints the knowledge that you have been seeking for the pleasure of the dunya or for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like coming to the masjid. You want to come to the masjid, it is an amal of khair, it is an amal of goodness. But you can't come to the masjid by robbing somebody, stealing their car, jacking them, and coming here to the masjid and then saying, I'm going to do the takbir and the hamd and sana of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, the means also has to be halal in order for you to get to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very important aspect. You can't just think that, oh, it's fine, I'll educate myself and then, you know, I'll do khidmah for the deen, I'll do all of these things. You need to work within your limitations and within your capacities. Otherwise, this is exactly what will happen. We as a nation, as a country, as a civilization will become slaves to the banks, slaves to all of these multinational companies, and we will continue to owe and owe and owe, and we will not have any barakah, any sukoon within our lives or within our hearts. So most of the world that you see in this century, in the most modern and most civilized and technologically advanced century, in this moment in time, is in the grip of a major disease, which is a rapid cancer spreading throughout the world, and it's crippling all of those people that it touches. And this is nothing, none other than riba, than debt, whether it's individual debts, whether it's payment plans that you take, you go, you want to buy a kitchen, or let's just buy it on all of these things, it doesn't matter, we have to pay a bit of interest. You want to buy the latest TV or the sofa, let's buy it on payment plans and we can pay the interest as well. You want to buy this? No, you don't have to buy a brand new thing. Buy something which is used, buy something which is second hand, buy something which is smaller, buy within your limits. You don't have to buy the latest and the best of all of these things. The banks and their bailouts, the industries that are collapsing, the pension funds which are vanishing before our eyes, the national debt which is increasing, the repossessions of homes that are taking place, in spite of all of this cancer crippling individuals, societies, communities, and entire countries, in spite of that, our greed continues to grow. We still want more. We still want the latest gadgets, the latest cars, the biggest properties. We want to live outside of our means. But the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam lived within his means. The Sahaba ikram lived within their means. Our own forefathers lived within their means, lived a simple life, a humble life, and we earned whatever we needed to earn in order for us to sustain ourselves. Now we're living beyond our means, and as a result, because we don't have that money, we have to create that money from somewhere, and we borrow that money, and that accrues a huge amount of interest, which is destroying not only individuals, but complete societies, communities, and countries as well. This sickness of riba, this cancer of riba, has brought humanity down to its knees. Humanity which is free, which is azad, and they are able to live and sustain themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us enough provisions on the earth to live a halal and simple way. But because we are living outside of our means, this is how we are being destroyed. And riba has enslaved the entire world. This is how you should see it. We might think that, oh, humanity is free. There's no longer any slaves in the world. Even though it was just recently in our history, we had slaves here in the UK, in Africa, in America, and everywhere else. And we might think that we are all free, but the world is all enslaved to the banks. We are all their slaves and we have to do, and they dictate the terms and the countries dictate their terms. And this is only leading to further destruction and to the devastation of individuals, their homes, families, communities and societies. So I want to just focus a bit more on those ayah that I mentioned previously on Jumu'ah last week and also on this Jumu'ah as well. According to the majority of the Mufassirun, or quite a few of the Mufassirun, of those people who do the sharha, the exegesis of the Qur'an, of the tafsir of the Qur'an, of the verses of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they mention that ayah 275 and ayah 277 of Surah Al-Baqarah were revealed in the last few months of the life of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Do you know when somebody is close to their return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the nasiha, the advice that they give you, you know it's very important. You know you have to focus and listen to that particular advice. So these particular ayat of the prohibition of riba were introduced and revealed in the last few months of the life of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. La ta'kulu riba. Don't consume riba, don't touch riba, don't go anywhere near riba. And similarly, when the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam performed his only hajj, his farewell hajj, in that sermon that he delivered, everybody remembers that no Arab is better than a non-Arab, no white person is better than a non-white person. We remember all of these things. But within that khutbah, that sermon, the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam also clearly mentions, Ala inna kulla riban haram, that every single form of riba is haram, which is mandated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continued to expand upon that. يَمْحَكُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obliterates and destroys all forms of riba, that it brings no barakah, it brings no thing of benefit for you in your life, but rather the sadaqah, the khayr that you give from the rizq halal and tayyib, that will grow exponentially in value. So we have to really ask ourselves, what are we doing? What kind of lifestyles are we living? And what kind of lifestyles are we encouraging our children to live by consuming and taking and witnessing and contracting riba and all of these other particular things and avenues that we are living our lives in? We have to really, really wake up and ask ourselves. So it's very, very attractive to see people with the latest cars, with the biggest properties, with the latest gadgets and gizmos and nice clothes, and you think, yeah, these guys must be doing the right thing. But this is all an illusion. And we can't be lured in and deceived by the apparent wealth of those people who are working directly in this particular industry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that, do not be deceived by the fact that those who are kafir, those who are non-Muslims, move freely about the earth. A brief enjoyment, then their shelter will be hell. What an evil resting place. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, yes, let them do what they want to do. Let them consume interest. Let them engage in all of these things and they'll have brief enjoyment of the dunya. But there is a grave punishment waiting for them in the hereafter. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making us aware of. That even though you will see your neighbors and their family and their friends driving the latest cars and doing all of the latest things, don't be lured and attracted by that. Keep yourself humble. Live within your means and within your capacities and keep away from all of those things which have been prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these things that they have is merely temporary. There is no barakah that they have in their lives. You will see now, you read in the news all the time, bankers and people working in the stock market, they're committing, you know, suicide, throwing themselves over bridges and killing themselves. Why? Because they have no peace and sukoon. They can't trust people because they have so much wealth. And they're constantly thinking because they have no barakah, no sukoon and itminan within their lives. So we are not here to be envious of the pleasures and of the wealth of the dunya and to fall in love with them or their methods. But rather we need to keep ourselves humble, keep ourselves to the ground and remember that our rizq has been written for us. It is recorded for us. It is guaranteed for us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a guarantee from Allah Azza wa Jalla that you will receive your rizq. So it's up to you whether you want to acquire that rizq in the halal manner or in the haram manner. You will still get exactly the same amount. If you have been ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to receive £20,000 in 2019, it's up to you to earn that £20,000 through the halal way or the haram way. You'll not earn a penny more and you'll neither earn a penny less but through the halal way or the haram way. But the difference will be that the £20,000 in the halal way will be full of barakah, full of khair for you, full of sukoon for you and your family and your children. But the other way will not benefit you in any way whatsoever. This furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions, do not let their wealth and their children impress you. Allah merely wants to punish them by them during in their life and for them to expire whilst they are kuffar. So none of these things should really, you know, attract us and make us think, oh, look at their children, look at their wealth and look at their properties, look at all of these things. These are all momentary things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is for them, but they will only receive that in the dunya. What is for you is far greater and it is everlasting when you return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these people, they have very, very minimal enjoyment for them in the dunya, but when they will be raised on the day of Qiyamah, they'll be the most cursed people on the day of Qiyamah. They'll be mad people, downtrodden people underfoot on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that those who practice riba will not rise from the grave except as someone driven mad to insanity by Satan's touch. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes those people. They have been touched and afflicted by shaitan in such a way that they become insane and mad during their lifetime. All they did was consume all this haram. And when they wake up on the day of Qiyamah, they'll be completely bewildered and out of their minds and completely mad as they have been touched by the shaitan. And the shaitan touches you with interest. Shaitan touches you with all of these illicit and these haram things. The riba, it will destroy you and your life, and especially your heart and any barakah that you have within your home. And the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, to really drive it home, to really remind us of how grave riba is, he mentioned that a dirham is nothing, it's insignificant, it's barely, you know, a few pounds in this day and age. A dirham of riba is worse in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than 36 acts of fornication. We know how bad fornication is, whether it is fornication or adultery, but this is how the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam is saying it's worse than 36 times fornicating with an individual. And this is recorded there in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, in Musnad of Imam Hakim, and various other books and books of ahadith, that 36 times worse than fornication, just one dirham of riba. Then how can you ever expect any barakah to come to you, or any barakah to come into a society, or into a community, or to a civilization when they are touching something which has been touched by the shaitan, when they are going towards their own destruction and their halakat? Therefore, we need to really reassess our lives and ask ourselves, what kind of industry are we in? Are they directly or indirectly engaging with haram? We need to ask ourselves those questions. When our children want the latest of everything, you say to them, go and earn it. Get a job, make savings, I will help you, I'll give you qarz-e hasana, and then you can buy that outright. Or you can rent, rather than just say, here's my credit card, go get a loan, get finance, and that's it. And you can enjoy yourself. That's not the way, that is not certainly the solution. Similarly with student loans as well, as I mentioned earlier on, you have children, you know they're growing up. Now is the time for you to start saving on the side for their university fees. And when they reach the age where they can work, send them to work, get them to earn, get them to save. So at least the first year, you can pay off the fees of £9,000. And then within that first year, they can also have a full-time job and or part-time job, and they can continue to earn and pay off. My wife has no debts because she worked before and during her university. She paid off. She had no debts whatsoever, no student loans. I've gone through university. I do not have any loans. It's possible. You don't need to be rich and affluent. You just need to plan your life very, very carefully, and you can avoid all of these pitfalls. It's not just an excuse, the easy way, or we have to get a student loan, we have to get a mortgage, we have to get finance. No, you don't have to do all of these things. It's all about choice, and you have to distinguish the difference between a need. This is a darura. This is something which I really need and something which you want. I want to do this. I want to look good. I want to be, you know, have the fanciest car. I want this and I want that. And you need to instill within your children that the difference between the need and the zuru and the want in their lives. Otherwise, they will lead themselves and you also to their own destructions. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْمَنُوا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وذروا ما بقي من الربا إن كنتم مؤمنين فإن لم تفعلوا فأذنوا بحرب من الله ورسوله وإن تبدوا فلكم رؤوس أموالكم لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون. That oh, you have believed, if you truly believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you believe in this, these verses that were revealed in the last 3 to 4 months of the life of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, you believe in the khutbatul wida of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, then you will keep away from interest, you will keep away from riba, direct and indirect, if you truly believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you do not desist, if you continue to engage in all of these things, then فَأْزَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ, then know that you will be at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. But if you repent, the doors of mercy are still open. If you repent, you may have your principle that you originally gave, and thus you do no wrong, nor will any wrong be done to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So declaring war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not have any success. You will not have any sukoon. Imagine if you went to war today, what will your state of mind be? What will your hal be, your kayfiyah be? Constantly embroiled in thinking about how to win and overcome this particular opponent. But you can never win Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والواحد القهار, just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most powerful, the most omnipotent. How can you ever win against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can you ever win against the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? And you might just think, oh, it's everywhere, what can we do? But the reason why riba is prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is because it goes against the nizam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The nizam and qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based on justice, based on adl, based on equality between men and women, between humans and society, and this entire world. There's a fine balance in the sky, in the heavens, in the ecology, in the environment, in everything that we have. When you disrupt that nizam, then destruction follows as a result. And this nizam of riba is you are taking advantage of those people who are at a low point in their life, who are majboor, and you're taking advantage of that, and then you're piling on the interest, and you are enslaving them for many, many years to come, or for the rest of their lives. So that you're going against the balance in the nizam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is why it is so hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this nizam needs to be maintained, and the only way that you can continue to build yourself, or your family, or your society, or your community, is when you keep away from all of these things, and then you will see that societies will flourish. Otherwise, the 4.8 trillion pounds of debt the UK is in will only continue to grow. The $20 trillion that the America is in debt in will only continue to grow. But when you can restrict yourself, when you start to eat less, it will benefit you and your body. When you start to drink less, it will benefit you. When you start to sleep less, it will benefit you. When you live within your means and your capacities, and don't have the latest of everything, and live within your means, then you will be far more happier, far more tranquil and at peace within your life, within your heart, and much more barakah will come to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is something which all of us cannot escape from. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions that there will come a time when there will be no one left who does not consume interest, consume riba. And whoever does not consume it, it will nevertheless be affected by it. You see the banking system, you see the industries, you see even the benefit that you receive from the government, it's all embroiled with so many other things. So whether you are engaging with it directly or indirectly, you'll still find some dust, some particles coming your way. But at least you can turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah and turn to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and say, Ya Rasulullah, oh Ya Rabbi, that I tried my best, I kept within the halal and I kept away from the haram, I didn't engage in any of the doubtful things, I did not witness any haram act, I did not witness any contracts of riba, neither did I give or receive any form of riba. At least you have tried your best. But just by giving up and saying sare kar den, majboor hai gaya ji, chahida ji chahida, that's not an excuse. That's not an excuse. It has to be a life and death situation. When you are in a desert and your life is at stake, when your life is truly at stake, only and only then in that grave situation are you permitted to consume alcohol, if that's the only thing available for you to consume, for you to sustain yourself. And only for you enough to sustain yourself so that you can go and find some water. Not for you to drink and drink and, you know, become drunk. So here as well, there's no that majburi that you're not at life and death. You can survive, you can rent for the rest of your life, you can borrow, you can get qarz-e hasana, or you can live in a simple manner and form without engaging in all of these things. Otherwise, you will be those people who are throwing yourselves and your family members into the fire of hell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Save yourselves, but also save your family members from a fire who, from a fire whose fuel is people and stones, and your everything that you consume, if it's not consumed, if not earned in the halal way, you are throwing yourself and your family members into the fire of destruction. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to truly protect ourselves from riba and to live within our means and our capacities and live our humble lives. Wa quli qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum jazakumullahu khairan.